It's Buster Olney. How you doing, Buster?
What's happening?
Hey, well, you've been to the Yankees. You've been to the Red Sox camp. I guess the crowds must be going crazy for the Yankees camp. But tell us what you've seen so far down there.
Yeah, and I've been to the Nationals camp, and I saw the Astros, and I went to the Cardinals camp as well. Look, I think the thing that really jumps out just in talking with the players is how excited the players are for Aaron Boone and for Alex Cora. You know, and these are two guys who are friends, and I've known them well and worked with them. But they really are sort of at the forefront at this point of this new wave of managers who, you know, they're chosen because they get along well with people. And, you know, I asked Ellen Betances, for example, about, okay, tell me about, you know, your conversations with Boone. He goes, you know, I talked to him a lot when he was a broadcaster. He said, but I probably talked to him 10 times during the winter, and then we're texting back and forth. And I mean, the players like that. You know, they like to be, they don't like to have the manager show up and dictate to them. A lot of excitement on that side of it. And I, you know, I had conversations with Rick Porcello and others about how they just want to have a different mindset this year, that they felt like last year they fell into the trap of, you know, sort of assessing themselves, judging themselves every single day. So, in other words, if they lost a game 8-1, they're the worst team ever. They kind of did for what the media did. And I think that they're going to, you know, try to take a step back, take the pressure off a little bit themselves, and you know, hope that that'll help them.
Buster, how strange is it at press conferences or just talking in general with Alex Cora and Aaron Boone when you spent so much time with them in non-managerial situations? Are they different people from the guy you remember as recently as last year?
No, they're actually – the great thing about both those guys is sort of what you see is what you get.
Yeah.
So you don't have – it's not like they're – when, you know, they put on a microphone and there's a bunch of reporters that suddenly they're – you know, they act differently or they sound differently. As my kids used to always like to tease me about, when I go on radio or go on television, they're like, you put on your baseball voice. You know, those two guys seem very comfortable. I will tell you that the in-game dugout, you know, interviews with both of them – I'm going to have a hard time to keep from laughing out loud because it'll be surreal for me, you know, having spent so much time with both those guys over the years and you know, to have a Red Sox-Yankee game with those two guys, the managers, that's pretty cool.
Hey, Buster, I got to ask you, we didn't ask you this a couple of weeks ago when the news came out. What's going to be like for you on Sunday Night Baseball to work with A-Rod and Matt Vasgersian in addition to Jessica Mendoza,
yeah.
a new crew for you this year?
Yeah, and it'll be fascinating. I tell you what, my great regret in covering baseball in my lifetime was the 2 years that I covered Cal Ripken. You know, it was the time when he passed Lou Gehrig's record for consecutive games, and he was very careful, and he didn't know me that well, and I never really got to know him, and I always regret not tapping into his knowledge. And when I heard that, you know, Alex was going to be doing that, I sent Alex a note, you know, congratulations. And I'm like, I feel like I'm getting a second chance. And you guys know during the NFL broadcast how great Tony Romo was, because Tony Romo saw things and he told you what he saw. And I think Alex absolutely is going to be someone who's going to do that. And I, you know, in talking with a lot of his teammates through the years, I mean, he's a baseball savant. And I can't wait to be in meetings, and we're going to have one of them actually tomorrow. And then another one on Monday where we're going to sit down and talk about stuff. And so I can, you know, ask Alex, hey, what do you see in this picture? And to get his unvarnished opinions on that is going to be pretty cool.
How weird is it that we're living in a world where A-Rod is the good guy and Derek Jeter is the bad guy?
Yeah, I got asked in a couple other radio things, well, you know, you said this about Alex, you wrote this about Alex. I'm like, you know, that was in 2014, and here we are in 2018. It really is kind of amazing where, Derek is, in South Florida, he's definitely swimming upstream at this point in terms of the public perception of how he's doing.
All right, Buster, I'm going to attempt a criticism of Cora already, and you tell me if I'm reaching.
You're going to be reaching.
All right, well, then let me see where this is. I was listening to J.D. Martinez. He's like, you know, I really want to play in the outfield so many games. I don't remember what he said. And then he talked about DHing, and I'm saying, wouldn't have he had this talk with Cora before he signed something they would have talked about, or no? And I kind of criticized Cora for that, no?
Well, one thing about that, you know, I had Dave Dombrowski on my podcast today, and I specifically asked him about the DH thing, and he said that when they sat down with JD at the winter meetings, that was addressed.
Oh,
because
okay.
When you have Andrew Benintendi, then you have Jackie Bradley
right,
and you have
right.
Mookie Betts. And, you know, it's probably the best overall outfield in all of baseball, and they're tremendous defensively. It's obvious that J.D. is going to wind up getting most of his games at DH. And Dave said that J.D. indicated he was totally, you know, fine with that. Now, it might be that J.D. was being honest with reporters, and J.D.'s a great dude.
Right.
And it might just be that he, you know, was asked the question, what do you think about playing the outfield? And he probably said, I'm guessing, he's, look, I, you know, all things being equal, I'd rather be in the outfield, but he understands, according to Dave, and he has since the first time they talked
okay.
about what his primary role would be.
Okay.
Now, Buster, on that Dombrowski podcast, you also talked about David Price. I mean, is he actually making an effort to play nice with the media this year and try to win the fans back? Does that matter to him, or do you just think that he's kind of doing this because he has to?
You know what? Either way, I didn't get it really a chance to dig in with him, but either way, I think it's smart. You know, if he's doing it and he's legitimately doing it because he believes it and he has real regrets about how he handled things last year, then that's great. And if he doesn't have real regrets with last year and he's doing it, I still think it's great. Because, you know what? Either way, he has to figure out a way, and I'm sure that he's at this point, he's at peace with the reality that, you know what, Boston's going to be his home for the next 5 years, that he has to make it as comfortable as possible. And I think anyone who's sane could see what happened last year and know that this was, as Dave said in the podcast, one of those lingering questions that was going to be asked unless David made an effort to put it to bed. And, you know, based on what he said last year, if I had to bet the family farm back in Randolph Center, I think he probably feels like that he didn't do anything necessarily that wrong. But he also is a smart guy and recognized, you know what, I got to get this behind me and I got to get it behind all the rest of my teammates as well, which is why I think, again, I'm just guessing, I think that's why he's handling it the way he has.
And by the way, don't bet the family farm in Randolph Center. We're losing way too many farms
yes,
in this
state.
Yes,
we are. Yes, we are.
Buster Olney of ESPN with us as he is every Wednesday at 5 right here on 101.3 ESPN Inside the Huddle. Look, Buster, I like what the Red Sox have done. I'm just curious how they end up putting it all together. I think Devers is probably best suited to bat like sixth or seventh in his second year, but there's so many righties in that lineup. Yeah. Is he going to have to go to like fifth just to break up the monotony of the lineup?
I'll be honest with you. I think that there's a chance that he's going to hit a lot higher than that.
Wow.
Not a lot higher. You know, one or two spots. I think in the end, based on what we saw at Devers last year, I think he's going to be right smack in the middle, breaking up the right-handed hitters like you know, you want.
Yeah.
I think that's right.
Buster,
I wonder if in the end, when we get to October, that the lineup, even after Pedroia comes back, I wonder if their best lineup is going to be Betts leading off, Benintendi hitting two, J.D. Martinez hitting three, and Devers hitting four.
Wow.
Because he has that type of talent. And, I, you know, and Xander Bogaerts, as we've seen in the past, he tends to go hot or cold. You know, if he's healthy, he can have an impact and maybe slide him down. You know, Pedroia, we'll have to wait and see how long it takes him to sort of get into the swing of things. Jackie Bradley Jr. can be up and down. But those four hitters at the top, to me, are the best hitters. Hanley, it'll be interesting to see, since he now is effectively right in the middle of a competition for playing time, if that kind of gooses him a little bit, and he has a more consistent season than what he had last year.
And how about Arnie's boy, Eduardo Nunez? Once Pedroia comes back, is he super utility guy and gives a guy a night off every night, or is he just a bench player who we see a couple times
wow.
a week?
No, I think he's going to be a super utility guy. Look, the one thing you hear from people, even those who love Eduardo Nunez, is he will kill you if you leave him one place defensively. If you play him at third base every day, he's going to make too many mistakes. If you play him at second base, the range, the turning and double plays, that's going to become a problem on a round. But on the other hand, if you can, and Alex knows analytics so well, that I think that probably on a daily basis, they'll look at, you know, who the starting pitcher is, determine where the ball is going to be hit the least, and that's where they're going to put Eduardo Nunez. he's a tremendous offensive player. He's a great energy guy. He's kind of banged up. He saw his contract structure is you know, protects the Red Sox to that degree, and I think that's probably how they use them, is just try to figure out the place where the ball's least likely to go.
I heard that Babe Ruth had Otani had a tough first outing. One in the third, a couple of runs, a home run blast, I think is still going in the air, right there or what, Buster?
Wow. I mean, coming right out of the gate. How many other pitchers gave up home runs this spring? You're not banging them for the year.
No, because nobody comes in with the fanfare of him, that's for sure.
Yeah, that's true. Look, I do think, and I think it was Hasegawa, right, who came out and – or somebody came out from – a pitcher from Japan came out and basically was trying to temper – expectations, and I think that's right. I think that if you look at the history of the pitchers coming from Japan, there is concern about sort of the different baseball and how will that feel. The guy eventually is going to be a tremendous player. We got some insight into how Evaldi is a hitter because he was so patient in the first day. He's going to help him, but I didn't say he was going to be Babe Ruth in the first game with the Angels.
Give him at least until July 1st he's Babe Ruth.
I'll give him a couple of months. I'll give him a couple of months.
Wait. I thought I said July 1st, 2021.
As for the Yanks, I mean, the circus in Tampa, is the Stanton Judge craziness been tempered a little by the fun that Russell Wilson is presenting at camp?
I'm sure for the reporters who are covering it, it's a welcome distraction.
Yeah.
it would be like, covering the Yankees now, because everything is around Judge and everything is around Stanton and those two guys, that, having Russell in camp, as you said, it's probably something that they like. I know from talking with Brian Cashman, the general manager, about their thought process, they just want him around their players and have an opportunity because he's such a positive force. John Daniels, the Rangers GM, was just amazed by the type of person that he is. And why not? And we talked in the past about how long spring training is. You're trying to keep players engaged. Joe Maddon, that's why he breaks out the magicians and tries not to have spring training turn into Groundhog Day. And so for the Yankees, part of that effort this year is to have Russell Wilson.
The Nationals brought in camels today or something.
Yeah.
Well, and remember a couple of years ago as you went in Cespedes in his cars.
Yeah,
that's right.
It is a long time. As it was once described to me that spring training is effectively for the pitchers to build up their innings counts and for the affiliates to make money. Yeah. And they probably could start the season after about 10 days, but they want to play in a month.
Yeah. Hey, Buster, how's Aaron Judge's shoulder? I mean, the Wilson stuff is taken away from the distraction of he's coming off surgery. How did he look?
I didn't see him actually play in games. I will tell you that we had a live broadcast of the first batting practice session together, and I went into that thinking, man, this is going to be great. It's going to be rockets all over the place, fireworks. And his first swing, he popped it up into the middle of into the top of the cage, and the look on his face, and I immediately felt like a complete idiot, because my thought was, of course his timing is going to be off. He hasn't taken nearly as much batting practice as he's had in the previous off seasons because he's been rehabilitating his shoulder. It wouldn't surprise me if he got off to a slow start for that reason, because this is someone who we learned a lot last year. He's very much a technician, and he puts a lot of work in, a lot of preparation in, and he simply has not had the time to do that because of the shoulder.
Buster, we'll get you out of here on this. I was crying at the show on Monday. Felix Hernandez got hit by a line drive.
Yeah.
Rest of the Mariners are already injured in midseason form. Do you believe in curses? Because I think the Mariners are cursed.
Yes, and the Mariners are definitely cursed. You're 100% right.
Thank you.
Buster, you're going to be out in Arizona next week?
No, I'm trying to remember my schedule. Flying out I got a meeting out in Los Angeles on Monday, and then I'm going to be down in Florida, and then headed out to Arizona closer to the end of the month.
All right, so I can't hit you up for free tickets.
There
so.
You go. Right. Hey, Buster, by the way, as we let you go.
You know what I would do? I would immediately refer to the place where I get every single one of my tickets. I'm not exaggerating. StubHub.
Yes. Hey, I know it well.
As we leave you, who's better in baseball, Russell Wilson or Tim Tebow?
Wow.
Was that close? Wow.
Well, I'd say right now, I mean, at this moment, I think Tebow, because Tebow's actually been playing.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I would give him the edge in that, but I would say this, based on what I've heard about Russell Wilson as a baseball player, I think if you gave Wilson about a month, then we'd have a conversation.
Wow. I'd like to see that. Hey, always a pleasure, Buster. Enjoy your time out there. We'll catch up with you next week.
See you guys. Have
Take
fun.
Take care.